The argument is that democracy, as devised by Athens, was exported to many of the allied cities, especially when there was a rebellion, and that the states that really opposed Athens weren't so much the states but the upper classes. The upper classes who would have benefited under traditional rule, under traditional constitutions, and that Thucydides is a historian from that upper class, and his perceptions reflect not only the upper class of Athens, but just general aristocratic opinions. And there is considerable literature written on Thucydides' political opinions, and the general conclusion is that he was a democrat in the sense that he accepted Pericles, but beneath that, he really was ultimately an aristocrat. He found the demagogues and the radical democracy in many ways distasteful, and later comments in his history seem to suggest that while democracy was acceptable to Thucydides under Pericles, it really wasn't so in the later stages of the war when Pericles was gone. And that position has led to a considerable argument that Athens represented a form of progress, that the Delian League, Athenian Empire, and the way one uses these terms is usually a tip-off on how you interpret the organization, that the Delian League wasn't quite as unpopular as Thucydides suggests, and that many benefited from it. And that is a point I want to examine in this lecture. Not only how did the League come about, but how was it perceived by the allies? And then we can look at the pluses and minuses of that outfit. Well, as I mentioned, when the allies initially signed up on this League, they did so out of fear of Persia. There is also an additional case that is made that many of the allies quickly realized that the war against Persia was profitable. And up until the defeat in Egypt in 454 BC, the allies benefited substantially by participating in these coalition fleets that plundered Egypt and Phoenicia and various provinces of the Persian Empire. And at one point, the whole idea of campaigning with the Athenians was extremely popular. And this only changed in the 450s when the Athenians suffered severe setbacks. That's probably a simplified statement. And I, again, would look to the revolt of Thasos in 465, 463 as a warning to many Greeks that something was changing. That even under Cimon, the most popular of the Athenian generals among the allies, and when Plutarch wrote his life of Cimon, he usually matched these lives up against a noble Roman. And the noble Roman he matched to Cimon was a man named Lucius Licinius Lucullus. I always think of him in the Roman gallery of generals as nice guys finish last. He was one of the generals of Sulla, and he was compared to Cimon because of the way he treated the allies of Rome in Asia Minor. These were primarily Greek cities during the time of the Mithridatic Wars. And that comparison was a moral comparison between Cimon and Lucullus, which most ancients appreciated in the Roman world very, very much. Cimon was a man who respected the allies, but even he was not above using the League and League military forces to enforce Athenian will. The dispute with Thasos was essentially a dispute between Athens and that particular city. It had nothing to do with the overall security interests of the Delian League. In 454, I mentioned, the League's treasury on the island of Delos was moved to Athens. It's actually moved to the Acropolis. And that resulted in a number of important changes. And those changes allow us to look at what this organization became in the time of Pericles, in the time of the radical democracy. For one, inscriptions were now put up at regular intervals, apparently annually. The lists are not complete. These inscriptions came in different forms. They're known collectively as the Athenian tribute lists, the ATL, which were published by various British scholars. The primary information we have on these lists is the aparchae, that is the 1/60th of the tribute dedicated to the Temple of Athena. So the amounts assessed against each city is essentially 1/60th of what they paid, so you multiply by 60 and you get the original assessment. What the lists show, and these lists extend from shortly after 454 BC down to 412 BC when the tribute system was abolished and replaced by a different taxation system, what they show is a rising total tribute. In some instances, we're able to document increases of specific regions and cities. And that is very, very helpful in showing that the Athenians are increasing the amount of tribute exacted from the allies. Originally, it's at about 460 talents. By the time of the Peloponnesian War in 431 BC, it's thought to be about 600 talents. It's risen.